staring very creepily in this direction. It's like he's like, hey. And then everyone else is kind of like, hey. It's so good to see everyone. It's always a blessing. I don't know. It's something that always shocks me just ever so much. Not because of y'all, but I come into church kind of like, meh. And then I'm like, oh, I get to see people. And y'all are actually pretty cool. But don't tell anyone. I might ruin some images. No. But it is wonderful to see you, and it is a beautiful day to be here. So here we are. We're in Easter. So Easter didn't end on Easter. We're still in the season of Easter. And it's more than just one Sunday. It's actually every Sunday we celebrate resurrection. But that's a whole other sermon. We won't go there right now. But the thing is, we're in that season of Easter where we are in that liturgical time. And basically, this is the time Jesus is alive and he is risen and he is wandering around with the disciples for these next 50 days. And it's kind of like that last study group before the exam. Like, you're about to do this on your own. And an all-nighter probably won't do it, so we're going to do 50 days and pray, right? And not that any of us would know about procrastination or any of us have ever pulled all-nighters because we were not prepared for the final exam. No. We were all very good and studious, right? Yeah, no. Don't lie. That's not healthy. But this is the piece where Jesus is walking with the disciples and saying, look, think about everything we have learned in these 3 years. And you didn't have the ending. You didn't have the cross in your picture yet. Now with this reality and this lesson and the reality that I am alive and everything I said was pushing towards this, let's relook at what we did and see it in a fresh light with new information. And so this is that period in which the disciples are getting those final reality checks and those final moments of growth, so that when Pentecost does come and Jesus says, now I'm leaving you and I'm sending the Spirit, but I am leaving you and it's now up to you to carry on this story, you're going to have all the preparation you can have and it's up to you. And so for us who live on this side of the cross, we get to be those disciples. And in today's reading, we hear that concept of, well, we have the psalm. Everyone knows that. Who had to memorize that psalm in the King James? Anyone? King James. Yes, my Baptist here. And I tried so hard to make it gender inclusive, and I was like, oh, that's not working for me. I'm so sorry. So it was like I was waiting for the leadeth me and maketh me, and yea, though I go into the valley of the shadow of death, you know, and get really dramatic. Well, if you have to memorize it, might as well make it, like, alive. But then you have that and that comforting reminder that Jesus, our God, our Spirit, are with us in our highest of highs, our lowest of lows, and that throughout it all, it is God who sustains us, all of our very needs. And then we have the John text, which we hear about this concept of God's voice, and we know the voice of our shepherd. And I really want to talk about hearing that voice and if we're really hearing it. And I want to bring into context the story of Lazarus, which is not in Luke 10. I think I just failed Duke. In John. Lazarus is only in John for this story of resurrection for him. But if we take in context this idea of Lazarus, I mean, you know, Lazarus is dead. He's put in a tomb. And then Jesus comes in all late because Jesus' time typically is not on my time. And I'm sure lots of people were sitting there going, you're late. Not by a few minutes, a few days. And what you hear is this hurt and pain and fear coming out of Mary and Martha. Like, if only you had been here. You weren't here and he died. You could have done something about it. Really? And Jesus is like, he's upset because he loves this family. He loves Mary and Martha. He loves Lazarus. And we heard Clarence speak about Jesus and Mary and Martha last week. And Martha's snappity, snap, snap, snap. Thank you. But we hear this and we know that Jesus has this relationship. And he says, it is for my parents' glory. And I take a moment and think about it. Like, how many of us love to sleep? And when you sleep, you can hit that deep rim. Oh, yeah. And somebody wakes you up. Don't mess with me in my deep rim. It ain't pretty. Side caveat, disclaimer, if you ever have an emergency and you call me and wake me up, it is don't be offended. Just, and don't ask any questions because God knows what I'll tell you. You might not want to know. But the concept of being in that deep sleep and being shaken awake, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And he is in the dark tomb. And when he wakes up, it's not like there's sunshine and light happening. There is a familiar voice calling out his name in the darkness where he is. He's wrapped up. He can't move. He's in a nasty smell, as the people who say, don't roll away the stone, it's going to smell. And he's literally in, honestly, I don't know how much darker you can get than being dead. He's in that darkest moment. And he hears that familiar voice to get up and come out of your tomb. And I think about how easy it would be if you just wake me up from REM, how I will grumble at you and I will turn over and go right back to sleep. And that's not even me being afraid. That's me being annoyed. Think about how scary it would have been to have woken up and hear that voice of the shepherd that you knew so well and not know where you were, not understand your circumstance, and being in that complete darkness without sight. But having the willingness to get up in that moment and actually go out, to know that voice is what gets us through this life when we hit those hard times. Because you and I are called to be that community of Christ. We're called to carry on that story. And like those disciples, sometimes we need to relook at the things that we've been told and put them in context and say, is this the voice? Is this the voice I know? And when I think about some of the things that we face on a daily basis, there's a lot of voices that don't make sense in line with what we tell ourselves, what others tell us, what we choose to hear about ourselves, what we choose to watch and let infiltrate our very beings, that don't line up with that voice of the shepherd. And I think there are lots of times in which we create our own tombs, where we kind of go and go, well, maybe I need to go hang out in here. I'm not feeling so good about myself today. Are we okay? I get nervous when people start coughing. Just making sure. We have water, too. But this concept of knowing that voice and the tombs that we create. I mean, how many of us have just gone into self-pity mode and we just kind of dug ourselves a hole and we sat in it? Okay, I'm the only one. Good. Good to know. Y'all are really strong people. I'm very happy. And it's one of those things where when you're having a hard time, it's easy to get into moments of like, maybe I'm not good enough, or maybe I did something wrong, or this is my fault, and maybe it's always my fault, and then add any other messages that any other people might be adding on that aren't good, and we can get lost in that. Lost in that constant concept and thoughts of not good enough, not worthy. And then we get stuck. Why? Because we're afraid. How many of us understand being in a circumstance that you know isn't right or isn't comfortable or isn't the best for you, but changing means trying something new or being in a different space, and that scares the hell out of you? And that's not to be vulgar, but literally scares you to your very core. And even though you know that what you're in the moment is miserable, you at least know it. You at least know it through familiarity. You know the path it may lead, and you know it may not be a pretty path, but at least you know it and how quickly that fear can paralyze you. That's a long time to be paralyzed. And yet, the whole time knowing that the voice of love has called us not to be afraid, but to step out. Having those moments of being alive and following the path of God will be scary sometimes. Sometimes it's from those dark moments. Sometimes it's God saying, hey, look how much work you've done. Now let's look at this next chapter. That's what this community is getting ready to do. Y'all have worked hard. You've gotten used to what's been going on, and it's getting ready to change again. It's scary. My own life is changing. All of our lives are changing, and it's scary to think about what it means to follow that voice of love and what it means when you can't see where that voice of love is leading you. The thing about today's text, if we forget the fact that sometimes God's word in our life will not match everything that we feel in the moment and see or hear in the world, we're going to be afraid and we're going to get stuck. I think about, rewind. We're not going to think about that one yet. Truth be told, God speaks one language, and that's love. It's edifying. It builds us up. The language that you and I are called to speak to one another and to every stranger we meet is always about edifying. When we look at where God is calling us and asking us to be God's literal hands and feet, it never looks like a slap. It never looks like a push or a shove that pushes them down. It looks like a hand reaching out. If it's a push over the cliff that they're not willing to jump, well, it's a happy push, and maybe you jump with them. It's always a hug. It's always kindness. You and I will make so many mistakes in this journey. We will do things with great intention. And there will be times with our greatest of intentions, we will have horrible impact. And that's those lessons we get to learn of how to be community together. But the thing, it will never be is fear. It will never be hate. It will always be love. When you look at all of John 10, all you can see is Jesus going, haters are going to hate. Is literally what he's saying. And those are not the voices of God. The thing that's hardest for us in today is it's so easy to say, those Pharisees, my friends, that is a warning for us. We, the church, can easily, if we are not aware, be the Pharisees. Even MCC, who has experienced the mainline church being Pharisees towards us, even as MCC, we can be rejecting and we can be hurtful. It's up to us to continue to grow in love and grow in strength, because there will be people who come in and get on your last nerve, very last one, and then take some more. There are going to be people who come in and will tell us that they don't love us because of who we are. And yet, we are still called to be the church alive and to speak love, even in the face of hate. In our own lives, we are called to speak love to ourselves, to stand into the truth that God has called us into, even if that doesn't match the plans that you and I have made for ourselves. Don't you hate that? Like, I had A, B, and C planned, and God is on a whole other alphabet that I have never heard of. Don't like that. And sometimes that feels like, did I make the wrong choice? And God's like, no, it's all about living and learning. If you ever get close with God and you keep listening to that voice of love, you'll find that God doesn't play the blame game very often. God doesn't like to waste time going, well, if you only had done this and that, and you wouldn't have done that or that, and maybe if you had paid attention, God doesn't waste that time. The biggest thing God will do is continue to put people and things in your life to help build you up until you can finally get the message. And even then, God doesn't go back and say, remember when I did X? God says, oh, good, you got it, let's go. God says that to us on an individual basis constantly. We have to know that voice of the shepherd to know that we don't have to live in fear and we don't have to beat ourselves up. We don't have to stay in tombs that aren't ours to live in or die in. If we choose to stay stuck, whatever that stuck looks like for you, I don't care if it's addiction. I don't care if it's I'm never going to ever be honest about myself outside of these walls. Whatever it is that God is calling you out of, if you choose to stay there, it will be a tomb. It will be death, not because God wants it that way. But that's not living. And sometimes we can die without physically dying. That voice of the shepherd is that constant love song to our hearts and for our community at all times to help guide us in that right direction. And God has that smart aleck ability to just never stop calling. Like, even when you try to say, God, not right now, you know, it's right then anyways. And then you try to turn on the TV, and then it's on the TV. So you turn off the TV and you get online and somebody's emailed you now. God has that fantastically smart aleck ability to do that sometimes because, well, maybe some of us are stubborn. Not I. Not anybody in here. Just some people out there. My friends, fear doesn't have a place in our life. Fear does not belong when it comes to love. It doesn't belong in our journey. We have been freed from so many things, and fear would be one of those, because fear keeps us paralyzed. It keeps us stuck. I don't know what's facing us as individuals. I know what faces my own individual life in this like little time period. I've got my own stuff to deal with. We have our own individual stuff. But as a community, I know we're going to face challenges upcoming. And there are going to be things that try to whittle away at our very core. And if I've seen nothing outside of Knoxville, y'all are resilient. Y'all like that bad penny? Y'all just like, we're still here. No. What did you want it? What? No, we're still here. It's awesome. That's what we need today. We need resilience. And I promise you, there are going to be times that come up that we are fighting internally and that we're fighting with the world around us. God has brought us through too much. And God has called too much of this community to stay in one spot, in one place forever and ever. Y'all have a mission that I am so excited to see. And if you can't remember anything else, know that God has called you. Individuals by name and by MCC Knoxville, God has called you. You've already begun to do the work. You've already been doing the work since you started. God has so much for you. Whenever you face those times of questions, don't listen to the fear. Know that voice of love. And that voice of love is leading you to the place you need to be. So I'm going to end with a simple video known as Where's the Room for Fear? I had to think about that. So the choir can come down, as long as Lanika doesn't yell at me. If you want to. Oh, somebody sing a song.
I used to be afraid at night, afraid of the dark, afraid that just beyond the point my eyesight allowed me to see that there was something lurking. Afraid that the darkness itself would somehow surround me and swallow me up. As if darkness were anything more than simply the absence of light. I used to be afraid of tomorrow. Afraid that who I was would continually dictate who I am and that who I would be might be someone who I didn't like very much at all. As if there was no such thing as being made new. I used to be afraid of opinions. Afraid that the words would not break my bones, they certainly would shatter my dreams. As if I started doing this for the approval of many rather than the glory of one. I used to be afraid of failure. Afraid of losing. Afraid of falling. Afraid of being wrong. Creating busts and looking absolutely stupid. Because who am I to think that I could ever actually make a difference? As if those setbacks were anything more than stepping stones on the path to success. I used to be afraid. Used to. But then I did a little research. And by that, I mean I researched and I researched and I researched over and over again. And through all my researching, I kept coming up with the same exact question. What room does fear have? What room does fear have when I cling to trust? What room does fear have when I lean on hope? What room does fear have when I search for something more, when I discover what's good, and when I stand in awe? When I run with perseverance, when I walk by faith and when I rest in comfort? What room does fear have when I sing with praise? When I take hold of inspiration, explore the possibilities, and step into freedom? What room does fear have when I discover strength, embrace courage, remember peace, declare truth, choose joy, experience life, and conquer death? What room does fear have when I find perfection in the one place I never thought to look? In weakness, when I'm saved by the most unlikely of heroes, by grace, when I'm invited into a relationship more loving and intimate than I could ever imagine as a child of God. I'll ask you again, what room does fear have when I step out of the darkness and I bask in the light? When I let the past be the past and the future has no limit? When they can talk all they want, but their opinion doesn't matter? And when failure is nothing more and nothing less than the road by which I walk my path to success? I'll ask you one last time. What room does fear have when in His Word He tells me 365 times, depending on the translation, do not be afraid? As if I needed to hear that every single day. And as if that's how many times I needed to hear it before I finally believed it. What room does fear have when I make room for love? What are you afraid of?
It's that simple. What room does fear have in our lives? As individuals, our life as community, and our life as the universal church, which is supposed to be built on the very foundation of love. Going into this week, I challenge you. Look at your life, look at your community, and say, where is fear, and why is it here? Amen.